something. You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys something. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? A little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar. Delicious. And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. It is the first Mouthful of 2009. Happy New Year to you. Hope you had a nice holiday. I did. I got out of town. I haven't done that. I don't know if I've ever spent New Year's Eve anywhere other than where I was living, but I was in New Orleans, and we actually left that afternoon and drove to Mississippi and went to a party in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and danced till about 2 in the morning. And I'll tell you, I had such a wonderful time in the South. I've been through the South before, but really never spent any time in what you might call the Deep South. And it has all manner of charm. Many, many things are charming about it. If you go there and expect life to be like it is in Sonoma County, for example, it's not going to meet your expectations. You can't buy good olive oil. cheese selections are really limited. You can't buy wine in a grocery store. You can buy beer, but you can't buy wine. You have to go to a package shop. So those kinds of things, you know, you just have to like relax and sink into what is there. And I'm probably going to do a complete show on my trip to the South. Haven't decided yet if I'm going to do it soon or if I'm going to wait until I go back in October and at that time take recording equipment with me. But I packed in many, many delicious adventures in my 10 or 11 days that I was gone and other kinds of adventures too. So we will be talking about that. The other thing I wanted to say before I introduce my guests is I spent the day driving around northern and eastern Marin County today, and it was really just spectacular. I went down for the farmer's market, and that farmer's market is huge. There's just a really, really big population base there. So I walked around there for a couple of hours and then drove to one of my favorite little hidden spots, Western Boat and Tackle. And they make really good crab sandwiches. And if you go out back, there's a little dock, and you can walk a little further out on the dock. And you see this beautiful part of San Rafael that most people don't see. Almost nothing but boats and a water nearly as still and smooth as a mirror and a few squawking seagulls. Then I just continued driving out forth. I stopped at McNair Beach and Park, which is just gorgeous. It was a nippy day, but if you were in the sun, it was really warm. And then I drove all the way out through China Camp Beach, all those little parks along the road there, and up through Black Point, stopped at Port Sonoma and talked to a guy who fishes for bait. He catches grass shrimp to sell to the fishermen there. So it was a really interesting day. I love to get out sometimes on those back roads and see the part of the North Bay that, you know, you don't see when you're just going from one day's destination to another. So if you have some time to do that, I really recommend it, especially at a time when there's not much traffic. So that's what I've been up to. And also got a show scheduled as soon as I got back. Thanks very much to Michaela Balthazar for pulling this together at the last minute. We are going to talk about Matanzas Creek Winery, that sweet little jewel of Bennett Valley. They celebrated the 30th vintage last year. So they are into, they're starting their fourth decade. And we have with us Joe
Cicero.
Cicero. I almost got it. Joe Cicero, you're the marketing
manager.
Manager.
Yep.
And then we also have the winemaker, Francois Cordessa.
Thank you for having us.
It's very nice to have you here. I love your accent, of course. How long have you, Francois, how long have you been with Matanzas Creek?
I started with Matanzas May 21st, 2001, and in the United States since 1996. Mm-hmm. So close to 8 years with Matanzas.
Mm-hmm. And you're originally from the Languedoc?
Yeah, I'm sorry, nobody's perfect. I'm French. Something I try to. Yes, I'm from the Languedoc, mm-hmm. deep south of France.
How did you end up as a winemaker in the United States?
Oof, it was kind of a joke. I was happy in France working in a nice little winery in Coteau du Languedoc. And the wine we crafted got what we call a Grand Prix d'Excellence des Vinali, which is a very prestigious award in France. My name was published, I don't know where, how. Because it's never happened this way over there. And someone called me with a Californian accent and told me, I have a job for you in California. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a friend of promotion who was playing a trick on me. And, well, I told the guy, if you're serious, send me a plane ticket and a work permit, and I will work for you. And I did hang up the phone, thinking it was a joke. And 3 days later, I got a convocation at the American Consulate in Marseille to get a work permit and a plane ticket. And it was 13 years ago. I started my career in Amador County, so it was not Sonoma, mm-hmm. Wild, wild west.
Yes.
But I gave my word, so I could not say no, so I told my family, but I will be back. I left France with my backpack and $500. I was young and naive and a little bit crazy, and I never went back home. And it was a while ago. Mm-hmm. You never know what's going on tomorrow. Life is full of surprise.
That's a really interesting story.
And it's true.
And
it's,
and it's true on top of it. That's great.
No, it's true. And so, well, I had an uncle who was teacher at Berkeley during the 60s, wild period. He was teacher in American literature and the only teacher in science fiction in France. And always told me, if you can go to California, go. People are very, very nice and you will enjoy. I'm sure he had a blast in 1967 at Berkeley.
Oh, that was a good time to be in Berkeley, that's
I'm
for sure.
I'm sure. So, and the other link was my granddad was an officer under Patton. He was French, but in the 3rd American Army. And when Patton did cross France, he was hired because he was coming from underground and he was already officer in the French Army and did open two concentration camps with his American fellow. And always told me, if you have one day the opportunity to go to United States, go. People are very, very nice. So,
well, that's a nice thing to hear. That's a very nice thing to hear. I could talk about France all night, so we better shift to anyone who listens to Mouthful knows that's true. So we should shift to Matanzas Creek and its history, because that's part of what we want to talk about. And how about just before we do that, Joe, you were pouring a little bit of wine, so why don't you pour a little bit of bit more, because it's such a nice sound.
No problem with that.
And tell us what we're drinking.
This is our 2007 Sauvignon Blanc, which comes from a couple of different appellations, Chinchin, in Sonoma County, including Knights Valley and Alexander Valley. We do have a bit of Sauvignon Blanc planted at the Bennett Valley Estate, which Francois can talk about much more smartly than I could. But it is definitely one of the wines that we are best known for, along with Chardonnay and Merlot. Mm-hmm. And we actually brought you a very top-secret project to taste a little bit later that we're doing, which, again, Francois can talk about in much greater detail than I. But, this is one of the wines that we're most excited about for us.
Now, if I search my memory for when I first excuse me, became aware when I first became aware of Matanzas Creek. I go back to Mary Edwards. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was she the first winemaker there?
She was.
She was. She was. Okay.
It was actually quite a thrill. Mary Edwards and David Ramey, who was our second winemaker, pretty good 1-2 combination.
Yes.
Came back to Matanzas Creek this past fall. And just incredibly gracious people, incredibly gracious with their time. It was great to connect some dots on some stories that we had heard. And get some more detail on them. Mm-hmm. And really, they're absolutely two of the most lovely people. And it was really a thrill. I actually was a salesperson working here in Northern California for the company that sells Matanzas Creek. And about 16 months ago, came over as the marketing manager. And to be able to go back into the archives and pull out all these incredible stories. I mean, Matanzas Creek really is a grand dame of certainly Northern California, if not all of California. It's got such an incredible history. And when we go out into, you know, other states, some of the stories that we hear about, you know, people saying how much they love our Merlot or our Chardonnay or our Sauvignon Blanc and have been drinking it steadily for 20 years, it's pretty inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Now, it was Sandra and Bill McIver.
Yes.
Who founded it 30 mm-hmm. almost 31 years ago now, almost.
Mm-hmm. 1971, I believe, from my records, is when Sandra first started acquiring property in the area. And the winery was officially founded in 1977. 1978 was the first vintage. Mm-hmm. And actually, Sandra, you were mentioning New Orleans before, is from New Orleans. And that was one of the reasons why the Lavender got started, the jump start a little bit. But she wanted to recreate some of the feeling from her home. And some of the incredible gardens that you see. And mm-hmm. that was what inspired her to plant the lavender in the first place. But, she and Mary Edwards, quite an amazing duo, I'm sure, back in
1 of the things about Matanzas Creek is that absolutely spectacular 2.5 acre, right, field of lavender. And in June, when all the blossoms have opened mm-hmm. and you walk through there, it sounds like an airplane is getting ready to take off because you got all those happy bees.
Yeah, if
buzzing.
You're looking at the bees, you know, you may want to take some some precautions.
But as long as you're, you know, as long as you don't disturb them.
No,
I'm allergic to
happy.
Bees, and I'm never worried walking through there. They are just so yep. occupied.
Mm-hmm. They do. They have a one-track mind.
Yeah. Now, do you do lavender honey? For anybody got hives out there?
I don't believe we no. currently do not, but we do make a lot of other culinary lavender.
Lots of items. Lavender products,
yeah.
Yes, of course.
Rubs, you know, salts, things of that sort. So it's good to the tasting room. They have a pretty amazing collection of things.
Mm-hmm. So let's get back to the wine, and I have to talk about my first experience with Matanzas Creek. It was actually the first case of wine I ever bought.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. It might have been in 1983, and it was a case of splits
mm-hmm.
yes.
of Merlot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I also at the same time bought, or not at the same time, a little bit later, there was some annual event that would mm-hmm. happen, and I bought 2 or 3 bottles of 1985 Merlot.
Mm.
And there's still not another Merlot I've ever tasted that touches those two.
Really?
It was just about, oh, maybe 3 years ago that I had my last bottle of 1985. I think I sort of wasted it. But I had some little twit visiting, and he kept talking on and on about Merlot. And it's like, you don't even know what a Merlot is, you idiot. And we went to lunch at K&L Bistro, and I thought, mm-hmm. okay, I'm just going to teach this kid a thing or two. I took and I wasn't sure. 85, I don't have an actual cellar. It took our breath away. It was so gorgeous.
We hear those stories a lot. I was in Texas a year ago, and at the Del Frisco's, and the sommelier there says that he has a customer who comes in at least once a month and orders Matins Creek Merlot consistently and tells a very similar story. Mm. And those are the kind of connections that people have with this place. And we're really excited because I think Francois has been able to, you know, make the Bennett Valley estate vineyards his own. And he is really doing some pretty amazing things. And now that the vineyards are anywhere between, this year they would be almost 10 years old. Mm-hmm. Some of them as young as 6 years old. But they're starting to hit their stride, and we'll be releasing some single vineyard bottlings that are going to, you know, really showcase what we can do there. And it's going to be very exciting for us.
So the Matanzas Creek Merlot estate?
Yes.
Has it always been that?
Yes. We used to get a little bit of Merlot from Nice Valley in some very specific spot, but Merlot is a very needy grape variety to deal with. You can pinpoint on earth where you can grow good Merlot. Merlot loves to have its feet on a wet spot. Merlot needs a special kind of oxidized clay, the right exposure. And you don't get that everywhere. Very sensitive to the heat. Bennett Valley is cold. If you go to Jackson Park, as a matter of fact, just before crush at night, it's freezing cold. It's very, very, very cold. Merlot loves it. Bennett Valley, we grow three grapes variety adapted to a cold weather: Merlot, Syrah, and Pinot. Mm-hmm. So it's really Merlot feel very comfortable over there. And last year, after the crush, we had Mr. Jean-Claude Berouet visited us. Mr. Berouet is since 1963 Petrus winemaker. So Petrus, it's Merlot,
wow.
And he's in charge of Petrus, yes, Cheval Blanc, the top winery in France. He was very complimentary mm-hmm. about the way we handle the fruit, the Merlot. I was on my toes, of course. I did learn my line. I did show up in time. I did not break anything. But Merlot, we don't handle Merlot like in France. Our aromatic profile is completely different. But we have great hope about Merlot in Bennett Valley. Yes. Cab, no, it's way too cold.
Mm-hmm.
Merlot, which is very, very needy, and I don't know why, has a bad reputation with some customers. Some of the best wine on earth are Merlot wines.
I know why there's a bad reputation. Maybe that's a topic for another time, but it's because of what happened with Merlot in California and what some people making it did, especially the higher-end Merlots.
Mm-hmm.
I used to taste for, the North Coast, you know, for a number of judgings, and there was this period of time where they were trying to pretend it was Cabernet. And it was like scouring your tongue. It was rough.
Yeah, no. And you don't vinify Merlot the way you vinify Cab. You don't put Merlot on a hot spot. Mm-hmm. It will not like it. That is something needs a lot of love and tenderness, Merlot. Mm-hmm. It's not a rough and beefy grapes variety. It's not a four-wheel drive grape variety.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely needy. And I strongly believe in Bennett Valley, we do have the perfect storm for it.
And when it flowers, for example, it's one of the most precarious times because if it doesn't set properly, you can get uneven bunches.
Yes, you can lose your crop. And also, you watch out when you go into the vineyard to check during bloom. Just driving by a block of Merlot, you can disturb the
really?
Yes, and it's
starting to sound like it's as temperamental as Pinot Noir is supposed to be.
It's different, but it's a very needy grape variety, and in viticulture and in vinification. We handle everything by hand. We don't delacerate the product. We have conveyors. We try to keep the fruit virginity from the vineyard into your glass. There is no secret. 70% of the wine quality is coming from the fruit. If you had a good fruit, you should make a good wine.
Mm-hmm.
As the best restaurant on earth, pick the vegetables the same day. They work with the best meat. They fish the fish the same day. And in winemaking, there is no shortcut for quality. Mm-hmm. It's all about outstanding product. Mm-hmm. So we do spend a lot of time in the vineyard with Brandon Axel, our vineyard manager, which is a very good guy and does a very good job over there. Hey, quality doesn't know any shortcut. It's a lot of details, and that's it.
Mm. And we're starting to see high-end Merlots coming back a little bit. Uh-huh. It's that middle tier and lower tier Merlot, which is at the lower end, Merlot is still the number one red wine sold in the United mm-hmm. States in terms of grocery. But we're really starting to see a renewed interest in serious Merlot.
Serious Merlot. Yeah. I think that's a good thing. I mean, I think it makes clearly a very beautiful wine when mm-hmm. it's the right fruit and handled beautifully. Now, when you first came to Matanzas Creek,
yes.
was there an extensive library? Did you get to taste back
yes,
through a lot?
Yes, you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah,
how far back
question.
Did the library go?
The library, I was able to taste some wine up to 1982. But most important, I went back to forecast Meteo up to 1979, up to 1980. And on paper, it looked like we pick fruits in Bennett Valley an average of 6 to 8 days after Russian River. And that is very important mm-hmm. because it does give us this extra time to produce outstanding aromas. Russian River is known for sparkling wine. You need finesse and elegance. In Bennett Valley, it's cooler. And we have a few extra days will allow mm-hmm. us to pick fruits later. So, yes, I did taste wine back 1982, but I went back on record to figure out when did they pick the fruit, what was the acidity, what was the pH, and so forth. Because you can have, you can taste the wine, but you need to have analysis side by side and to figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And Marie Edwards and David Remy had done such a great job. They're talented winemakers. And because of their record, I was able to learn.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've got this other bottle there, unlabeled,
mm-hmm.
yes. capped,
yes.
and you call it your secret project. You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, we produce also some Sauvignon Blanc. Sauvignon Blanc may be one of the toughest grape variety to deal with.
Really? I did not know that. Why is that?
Because aromas will develop in bottle. It means when you pick the fruit, it's very, very neutral. You choose a berry, you taste the juice, and it's very neutral. Organoleptically, okay. it's like Syrah. But aromas will develop later on in bottle. And at Matanzas, we try to stay away from dry herb. Dry herb is not characteristic from Sauvignon Blanc. It's a reduction issue, and we try indeed to get more exotic fruit, grapefruit, something more sophisticated. Grapefruit will last longer also. A little bit of dry herb is okay, but if we do not pay attention to detail, later on this dry herb can turn as bread crust, matchbox, spoiled egg, wet dog, which is not very romantic.
Just don't really want to drink
yeah,
that
which
wet
is
dog,
not very
you know?
Take that off the website.
It's not very romantic if you have a date in a restaurant. So we delve more on exotic fruit, mm-hmm. and we feel this kind of aromas will last a few extra years mm-hmm. in bottle.
Is it possible to say how you do that? How do you steer down the grapefruit avenue rather than, you know, the wet dog lane?
Each vintage is different, so we have to work with what Mother Nature is throwing at us mm-hmm. every year. We don't have a recipe.
Does it have to do with when you harvest? Does it have to do with how you treat post-harvest?
Yeah, so it's when you harvest, post-harvest, but also a lot of work in the vineyard
uh-huh.
to age at the correct moment, not to late irrigate, to disc, to pull leaves at the right period.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is about timing in winemaking. So, yes, part is in viticulture and also in the cellar. You know, 2005, 2006, we had a lot of vigor in the vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sauvignon Blanc is a vigorous grape variety, and we had to adapt in our viticultural practices to make sure to get this grapefruit characteristic. 07, we had a little bit more rain, so it was not as... The viticultural practice were a little bit different. So we don't respect a procedure to make wine. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. And it's what's very exciting about it.
Mm-hmm. So you just really pay attention to what's going on.
And you scratch your head. And it's an humbling experience because, we don't have a straight answer for everything.
Sorry, I don't give you a straight answer, but
you don't have an answer.
No, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. It's excellent, actually. No, that's what makes it so interesting. You know, if it was just a straight answer all the time, there wouldn't be so much to say.
Sometimes
and it
would
wouldn't
like,
be so eh? Interesting.
It wouldn't have the soul that it has.
Yeah.
Sometimes we would like, we'll sleep at night, but anyway.
So tell us what is in this
class.
Yeah,
that it's an experiment. We try this year... We go a different direction with a small batch at Matanzas. It's a Sauvignon Blanc, what we call a passerillage. Excuse my French. Passerillage means we picked the fruit later on. We were waiting to get good botrytis in the vineyard. Mm-hmm. Or a lot of growers will not even pick botrytis because the fruits look like crap. Excuse my French. But it's gold in a glass. If mm-hmm. you know, if you can handle it the right way, you should be able to produce a nectar in glass. Life is too short after all. So this product, this Sauvignon Blanc, this passerillage, we did pick the fruit at 26 bricks, or that it's for the wine geeks. But most important, we were waiting for the good botrytis. Then we did let sit the grapes... How can I say that?
It was set in racks that dehydrated the grapes in a refrigerated environment.
Yes, it would be the right way to say.
3 weeks?
Over a month. In the dark?
Well, they said they just dehydrated.
So sort of similar like to how they treat Amarone, but it's not... Amarone, if I'm not mistaken, they just leave them out in the sun.
Uh-huh. We did not.
We left
it
them
was in the
cool
dark. And we were waiting for some shriveling, mm-hmm. reasoning. We did taste berries. We had some white mold on it. So is it good? Is it bad? Indeed, it was good. You taste it. Hey, the mold tastes good. It's fine. You know, it's Roquefort. Roquefort, which is one mm-hmm. of the most expensive cheese, it's with mold. And in this case, you know, the good botrytis, Sauterne, it's mold also. So I did use a microscope to make sure we did not have a bad bug. And it was very good. So let's wait a little bit longer. Then after a month, it was our first year doing that. We didn't want to take too much of a risk also. We decided to press it. So it was a very long cycle, over 6 hours pressing cycle, an old savoir-faire from Bordeaux. When you crush this kind of grapes with botrytis, you are very, very, very gentle. Mm-hmm. And the way you press is a secret. So we did press for 6 hours, checking the juice, not going too fast, because if you go too fast, it's like, as I say in Champagne, casser les cailloux, break the stones, break the pebbles. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to do that. We did check the cloudiness and push the wine straight in barrels, started alcoholic fermentation, tasted it, and left a little bit of residual sugar. And right now, this wine is in barrel, 1 and 2 year old French oak, and we try to keep the fruit alive. So I mm-hmm. don't know if we will keep for too long in barrel. I don't want to dry out the product. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have a product who will feel like a cat tongue, you know, very, very dry. Mm-hmm. And so right now, we taste it once a week. So far, so good. We have guinea pigs like Joe who likes it. So, you know.
I like it. It's very pretty. Mm-hmm. It's very delicate.
It is indeed. We keep a high acidity. Uh-huh. A lot of sweet wine. It's a little bit sweet. We still have 3% mm-hmm. of residual sugar. but we wanted to keep a high acidity. Mm-hmm. We don't want something flabby.
Yeah, it's not syrupy. It's not at all flabby.
It's still light on his feet, and it's what we try to achieve. So I don't know for how long we'll keep it in barrel. We will add some fining agent, filtrate it later on, but it's a learning experience, and it's very, very exciting. It's a very exciting project. I enjoy it with a little bit of foie gras.
Oh, now you're making me hungry. Yes, this would be wonderful with foie gras. Mm. Beautiful. We're talking about Matanzas Creek here on Mouthful. One of those great versions of Moon River as I was driving to the station tonight. And anyone who was outside driving around this evening, oh, the moon was so gorgeous. It almost looked like it does in October when the Hunter Moon is just so close and so orange. So the song fits for that reason. But also I made a couple CDs that were all of the songs that remind me of Sauvignon Blanc, which is when it comes to white varietals, it is, if I have a favorite, it is definitely Sauvignon Blanc. There's something about it that reminds me of fog in a really good way. Uh-huh. And I live in the Russian River Valley, and I appreciate, very much appreciate the fog. And I'd like Sauvignon Blancs that make me think of that. So we are talking, I should remind you, to Francois Cordessa, winemaker of Matanzas Creek, and Joe Cicero, marketing manager for Matanzas Creek Winery. Now, we've talked about Merlot, we've talked about Sauvignon Blanc, we've talked about... So Sauvignon Blanc, would we call it a late harvest?
We don't know yet.
We don't know yet, but will it eventually be sold, do you think?
It will be sold in the tasting room as a late harvest. I don't know. I have to check with Joe, my boss, here. So.
Not quite, but, you know, it's one of those things where it really was... It's pretty amazing because it's an incredible team out there, and we're all, you know, around the same age and of the same sort of motivation to sort of write the next chapter for this winery, because it does have such an amazing history, which is great. And what we want to do is take those things that it was known for and sort of bring them forward in a new way. And so this is really an experiment. And so we're just kind of looking to see how it goes. And fortunately, people like you like the product. And so if people continue to like it as we taste it with people internally, then we will bottle it. And we probably wouldn't do so until June, which means we wouldn't have it for sale at the earliest until the winter of 2009. But at this point, we're just kind of taking a wait and see. And Frankie is monitoring it. And we'll just see how it turns out.
Okay, well, it's lovely. So there's another varietal that Matanzas Creek is known for, and that is the Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, alors Chardonnay is a great grape variety also. The way we handle it, when you enjoy a Californian white wine, once in a while in your back palate, you will feel some bitterness. And I strongly believe the bitterness you can get in the back palate is coming from an excess of vigor in the field. It means Mother Nature in California is exuberant, is extremely generous. Grab a vine leaf, crush it in your hands, smell it, and smell your hand. It does smell very good. Smell a tree bark. It does smell very good. Do the same in Europe. It doesn't smell at all. When you barbecue with vineyard canes during the summer, your steak is extremely aromatic. everything is aromatic. It's not the case in Europe. So that is great because we can produce extremely aromatic wine. But on another hand, and on the white side in particular, if you don't pay attention to detail, you will get some bitterness in the finish. So to avoid this problem, we handle the fruit very, very carefully. We use a lot of champagne techniques to handle our Chardonnay. We crush it like in champagne. Then we let it settle for a little bit, not for too much. Once again, to avoid this bitterness, we try to get the right cloudiness. If it's too cloudy, it may be a problem. If it's not enough, also it's a problem. It's your gut feeling. You have to go with your instinct with that. And we start the vinification in a third new French oak, a third one-year-old, a third two-year-old French oak barrels with yeast from Champagne. Why from Champagne? Because they can work at very low temperature. And by doing so, you don't oxidize your product. It's tricky. It's trickier because you may have a longer, your alcoholic fermentation may take longer, but at this price, you can produce very, very sophisticated and elegant aromas. Then, as Matanzas, we go through maraktic fermentation. Matanzas is known for the MCW, which is a bacteria who naturally decrease the wine acidity. And this bacteria is present everywhere. It's present on our tank, barrels, walls. But we know for a fact it's not present at Jackson Park, which is just 2 miles away. We seem to have a good biosphere here on site. This bacteria, I remember when I was a student in Montpellier 20 years ago, time ran fast. Professor Barr told us, there is an interesting bacteria, and it's used by a Californian winery, Matanzas Creek Winery, and this bacteria has very, very interesting aspect. And you could imagine 20 years later, I will be here and talk about it. So this bacteria is very important. A lot of people will tell you, I cannot enjoy a glass of white wine, I will have an headache, I'm sensitive to sulfur. Bear in mind, there is 10 times more sulfur in peanuts for aperitif. When you open the bag, smell it, you smell sulfur. And people will pig out on nuts and not develop an headache. There is sulfur also in orange juice. And people don't develop an allergy. So, of course, you can develop an allergy because of sulfur. At Matanzas, we don't use too much of it. But, yes, you can develop an allergy. But it may be because of something else. Mm-hmm. And we, Professor Kunke from UC Davis, worked on this issue, and he did figure out that Matanzas Creek bacteria is able to metabolize a byproduct, biogenamine, and this product can give you an headache. So some people will develop an allergy. But because at Matanzas we work with this nice bacteria who metabolize it, you can enjoy a glass of white wine from Matanzas, and you should not develop this allergic reaction. I did not say booze three or four bottles, no. But it's a scientific fact. You have some serious work done on it. We work with this bacteria, and we try to preserve it. It means when we work in the cellar, we don't use chemicals. Mm-hmm. We work with a lot of water to sanitize everything. We steam everything. Everything is pasteurized. It means steam and boiling water, but no chemicals. We want to preserve these good bacteria.
Mm-hmm. That is really interesting.
It is indeed, yes.
Yeah, You know, the whole issue of which wines cause headaches and why and that sort of thing. And, you know, I meet people all the time who have their ideas about why they get headaches from certain wines, and this is something
I've never
heard before.
It can be sulfur, but not always.
I've never actually heard it as sulfur. Some people just blame it on red wines. I've always wondered if it was oak tannins because a Chardonnay will spend time in oak.
Yes.
And, you know, certain red wines spend a lot of time in oak. And so I thought maybe it was oak tannins. But
it may be. Our scientific work told during alcoholic fermentation, yeast can metabolize some amino acid present naturally in grapes. Mm-hmm. Bear in mind, once again, in a bottle of wine, you have 2,000 different molecules minimum. And when the yeast metabolizes this amino acid, it will produce a byproduct, biogenamine. And this kind of molecule could, some people could develop an allergic reaction. Thankfully, MCW, this bacteria, can destroy it. So enjoy a glass of Matanzas Chardonnay and you should not have any problem.
That's really fascinating. Wow.
The whole MCW bacteria story is pretty amazing. Mary Edwards discovered it during the second vintage of our Chardonnay and sent some samples to Vinquiry, and they acknowledged that it was a bacteria that was unique to Matanzas Creek. And for years, it was actually one of the only local California bacteria strands you can get. And, you know, 30 years on, we're still using it. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. I certainly learned something tonight. let's talk a little bit about a visit to the winery. Yep. Regular tasting hours when you open?
10 to 4.
Daily?
Daily. Every day, except for Thanksgiving Day, I think it is.
Christmas Day.
Christmas Day and New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And is there a charge for tasting? How does it work?
It's $5 at the tasting bar. If you're a Custom Crush Wine Club member, it's complimentary, but it's a pretty low tasting fee. We like to keep it that way because, even though we are technically in Santa Rosa, you know, we are it's only 15 minutes from the golf course out there, but it is a world away. So you have to be looking for us. But once you're there, every single person who comes is pretty awestruck by it. So it is a very special place.
Mm-hmm. And who is it that finds you? Do you find that you have a lot of locals coming?
Yeah, we...
Is it visitors who are coming specifically, people who stumble upon you?
It's a destination. Most of the time, people come looking for us.
Okay.
Because we are not on, you know, the main drag in the Sonoma Valley, nor are we in Healdsburg, people do have to come looking for us. We do have an outstanding local following, a lot of local restaurants. A lot of our wine club members are local. But other than that, we do get lots of people from Texas and Arizona who come to us, and they specifically are looking for us. They had our wines in a local restaurant or had heard about us from a friend. So it really is, again, it's amazing because it is a word of mouth sort of winery. We don't advertise. We don't. We don't spend. We don't. My marketing budget is very small, but it really is based on word of mouth. So,
Now, what was I going to ask? Flew out of my head like a little bird, but I know that it's going to fly back. Oh, I know. Can people see the whole winery? Can they do casual tours, or do you have scheduled tours?
We do have a couple scheduled tours. I believe they're at 10 o'clock and at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
But otherwise, it's a very, very casual experience. And you do self-guided tours whenever. But obviously, around May and June, it becomes a little bit more hectic because of the lavender. And so we were talking about artists earlier during one of the breaks. And we have a lot of artists that come out and paint our lavender fields and paint the aspect, the view up valley, because it is pretty amazing. And actually, the other day, when I rolled in the work, the fog, as it was hanging in the hills, it was absolutely magical. And if you're out there in the morning, usually before about 10:30, 11 o'clock, we tend to get a lot of fog, which really creates an amazing light. So it's, again, a very lucky to work there. So
it's absolutely beautiful place, day or night. That road there, Bennett Valley Road, is one of the great places to see the moon when the moon is full. What's in the future? Are you... I remember hearing just little bits and pieces about, and you've mentioned this too, Francois, Bennett Valley being a good place for Pinot Noir.
Yes.
What's on the horizon about that? Anything?
We produce 1,500 cases of Pinot Noir.
Actually, less.
A little bit less.
It's 11. Yeah, it's about 1,100.
1,100. Now, right now in tank, we have what 1,500 for. No bottle. Okay, I see what you mean. Sorry about that. No, I think in bulk. I'm not. A little bit of Syrah also. With our Syrah, we did develop a Banyuls-style wine. It's kind of porter. Banyuls is a lovely small place between Spain and France.
Banyuls?
Banyuls.
Oh, the best vinegar in the world, I think, is the vinegar
really?
De Banyuls.
Oh, really?
Oh, it is. I covet that vinegar.
We hope not to produce.
No. But I don't know some of the wines, too, from that region.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And like in Bennett Valley, they do have a strong oceanic influence, and they do have an acidic floor, like Bennett Valley. So we developed a small program, which is a Banyuls wine. It's lower in alcohol than a port. It's at 17% mm-hmm. volume. It's not as high in sugar. And we are very, very excited about this product. We make it from Syrah. And down the road, in a few years from now, we will add a little bit of Grenache. As a matter of fact, tomorrow, Brandon and I go and prune the Grenache. Mm-hmm. But it takes a few years before we can add it to our blend. So on Syrah, we have this.
But the answer to your Pinot Noir question, Mary Edwards, when she was at Matanzas Creek, 1978 through, I believe it was 1983, she had made Pinot Noir for the first mm-hmm. few vintages. But at that point, no one quite knew what to do with it. Mm-hmm. I think stylistically, I don't want to speak for Mary because she's, you know, sort of a god to us. But stylistically, I think that it was very different than the style of wine she's making now, mm-hmm. I would imagine she would say as well. And so, you know, fast forward 25 years in 2006, because as Francois continues to figure out what Bennett Valley can do, we did plan a little bit of Pinot Noir. Mm-hmm. Now, what we're doing today, the vintages that you see in the marketplace are not Matanzas Creek fruit.
Oh, where's the fruit coming from?
It comes from some grower relations we have in Bennett Valley.
Okay, yeah, there's a dozen or so?
Yeah, yes. It's very small. Mm-hmm. The entire appellation, of course, is tiny. But mm-hmm. And then with the 2008 vintage, we may use a state fruit. It's up to Francois and what how he feels that's coming along. But those the vines at that point are about 3 or 4 years old, so.
Yes, they were grafted a few years ago, and it takes 2 to 3 years. When you have to graft over an existing vine, it takes 2 to 3 years before your vine can come back on its feet. And we are pretty optimistic for the white vintage, yes. Yes, we did change some pruning technique by arcing also to get smaller bunches so you can concentrate aromas and have something more complex. Pinot keep you on your toes also. It's a very, very challenging mm-hmm. variety. We don't rack it as often as a Merlot. We really pay attention to barrels, and each barrel is different. I make sure to taste each barrel individually at least once every other month. No, you know, quality doesn't know any shortcut. You know, Chanel number 5, the packaging, it's a crystal. 90% of the packaging goes to the dump because it doesn't reach a standard quality. And at Matanzas also, we're in the dream business. We take stuff very seriously. And you know, in the food business, you fool your customer once, you don't fool your customer twice. Mm-hmm. My mother was teacher at the French Culinary Institute for 4 years, and it's something she always told me. She told me, pay attention to detail. If you have a good product, it will come back to you. People will buy a wine for a pretty label first, but they will get back because of what's inside the bottle. And it's our pride, it's our gut, it's our flesh, it's our sweat. We're very proud of that. I should not say that, but it's part of our salary also to please, to put a bottle of wine on the table and tell, you know what, we worked hard and please enjoy.
And on that note, we are out of time. Thank you so much. You were so articulate about this, and your love of what you're doing really comes through.
Thank you.
Yes. Francois Cordessa, winemaker of Matanzas Creek Winery. I should tell you, Matanzas Creek Winery is located at 6097 Bennett Valley Road in Santa Rosa. You can check things out at matanzascreek.com. And Joe Cicero, marketing manager, thank you very much as
thank
well.
You.
And hope 2009 is a great year. And hope you have a great 2009 as well. And always remember, you know, if New Year's Eve and all that didn't go perfectly, you got another chance. We have the Lunar New Year coming up. We're about to enter the year of the ox. We'll probably be talking about that here on Mouthful too. For now, have a great week. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And meet me back here next Sunday at 7 for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour here on KRCB.
Mouthful is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to mouthful@michelleannajordan.com. That's Michelle with one L. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast from krcb.org or from iTunes.